This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sharon Brody. Over the years, a lot of Boston rock radio stations have mattered to a lot of people. But in the 1970s and 80s, one station dominated.
Faster than the speed of sound. Stronger than an iron fist. More powerful than TNT. The real WBCN, Boston.
And for decades, the biggest draw on the Rock of Boston was the morning DJ, Charles Lacordaire. Now he's releasing a multimedia memoir, Days in the Life. Yes, that is D-A-Z-E. He joins me from his home in Hawaii via Skype. Charles, good morning.
Hi, am I like the Wizard of Oz coming, the man behind the curtain, or am I just appearing there like poof? Is this a poof thing?
It's a poof thing, yeah, yeah. You built a phenomenal career in the golden age of rock radio, and you lived to tell the tale. Does it ever seem a little improbable?
Before I got into radio, it was all of these top 40 jocks, you know, with the Blazers, and it was Woo-Woo Ginsburg in Boston, and it was Murray the K, and all these people going, hey, here's number four this week, you know. And at the time that I got started in radio, a fellow named Tom Donahue had just sort of invented the idea of putting rock and roll on FM. He said, hey, I get an idea. All these FM stations that play classical music are losing money hand over fist. So let's make them some money. All these stoners out there want to hear Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles in stereo, because right now they're just getting it on AM radio. You put it in stereo, and all of a sudden, especially since people were just starting to smoke marijuana in those days, so you're talking about having a big fatty and going like this, and then all of a sudden the Beatles' Day in the Life comes, and you go, wow, there is a God, man, far up. That's when I came into radio, when you didn't have to be, hey, God, have a deep voice. All you had to do was be some kind of a schmuck like me who just comes along and says, hi, I'm Charles, and I'm going to screw this up left and right. And people loved it. It's like, yeah, he's one of us. I could never do it again because commercial radio now is all sold out. I think it all happened maybe when Bill Clinton came along. And as much as I love the guy, you know, being a big liberal, to this day, he admits he was singularly responsible for allowing corporations to buy more than one station, buy more than one TV station in one area. Because until that, you couldn't monopolize. And once they monopolize, you know, the job of a person who's the CEO of a company is to make money. So the way to make money with radio is you got to play hits, because people are only in their cars for 20 minutes on the way to work. They want to hear familiar songs. So if you're going to play a long Muddy Waters song, it's not going to get ratings.
Well, your morning show, The Big Mattress, was very highly rated, and you featured this cast of characters. Talk to us a little bit about how it evolved.
When I first started radio, I wasn't on mornings. I was on nights. It was like nighttime FM radio. The people were stirring the rice and, you know, smoking and listening to long songs. And so nighttime on FM radio was prime time. We had a meeting one day. Dinah Vapen was the morning person. She raised her hand and she said, how come the guys get all the great shifts? Why can't women have great shifts? And of course, me being a total jerk from the back of the room, I go, Dinah, there's no such thing as a bad shift on WBCN. So she turned around, whipped around, and she says, okay, you, whatever word is there, then you take the mornings. And I went, I will. And then when we left the meeting, I said to my program director, what did I just do? And he said, you're on mornings from now on. And there was nobody listening in the morning. And so we just decided, you know, we might as well make the most of this. Let's just make fun of all the stuff that's going on out there with the guys with the Blazers. And let's just do kind of a parody of what they do and make it into a big goof. And then as it caught on, we started getting better ratings. And you know, they just gave me, because I have ADD, so producers and directors, they were in the room. And so, for example, and plus they could read my mind. So if I'd go something like the movie, what's the guy's name? The guy with the movie with the bear with the rocket ship. They'd go, Chewbacca, Harrison Ford. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Of course. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about your most well-known fictional character.
No.
I'm Dwayne Glasscock, and I can't run for president because I'm already the king of rock and roll radio.
Yeah. How did he come to be, and what does Dwayne Glasscock mean to you?
Well, I'll tell you a story. Dwayne Glasscock was on the air one Saturday afternoon, and the ratings had just come in, and the ratings were really good. But Dwayne Glasscock, on his Saturday show, looked at the ratings, and he went something like, "No, I'm just doing an imitation. Dwayne does it better." But Dwayne had a Boston accent, and so he'd go, "Holy cow, look at these ratings. I can't believe this. La Condora, he only got a 4. Now, of course, a 4 in the ratings was really a great number. La Condora only got a 4. I can't believe that. And look at me. I got a 13. God, there's 14 people outside looking at me right now through the Prudential window, and there's 5 people on hold. So I know I got more than the 13. You know what, everybody? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a bag of feces and send it to Arbitron Research Bureau, ARB, and then Dwayne gave the address out every 15 minutes to the real Arbitron Research Bureau. And of course, you know that that probably worked because the show was very popular on a Saturday afternoon. And so you know that Arbitron got a lot of bags of excrement. So that following Monday, my boss, the manager, knocks on the door of the studio. He knocks on the door and he opens the door and he says, "Charles, I'd like to see you after your show." So I went in to see him after my show, and I'm sitting there and he's opposite me and he's got this big cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, which he is so upset. He's stirring it with his finger and the veins in his neck are sticking out in his forehead. Charles is the consummate professional, but Dwayne Glasscock is a jerk. And Dwayne Glasscock is fired. Dwayne put our license in jeopardy. And so I go to his name was Clee Dobra. I said, "Clee, you can't fire Dwayne. He's got incredible ratings." Dobra looked at me and he goes, still stirring, "Are you talking with a full deck? You're acting like Dwayne is different from you." And I said, "Well, you just fired Dwayne and you kept me." So anyway, that lasted. He fired Dwayne. So for 2 weeks, Dwayne was off the air. But then the overwhelming thing, bring Dwayne back. They almost had a riot and stuff. So he brought Dwayne back.
But you were more than Dwayne Glasscock and music and Michigas. In 1988, you led an anti-apartheid protest. You also led a boycott of Shell Oil. So I'm wondering, how did you chart that path while working for a commercial radio station? And how did station management deal with you? And could that happen today?
No, it couldn't. Back then, Mel Karmazin was the overall big honcho. He was the CEO for all the stations, the BCN stations and stuff like that. My ratings were so good at the time that he allowed me to do the Shell Oil boycott, even though I lost $30,000 account. But it really made Time Magazine.
Yeah, that was a while ago. What do you miss about your radio career?
Nothing. I've got Hawaii. I'm in Hawaii. It's been 18 years since I've been on the radio, and people still remember me, so I might still get a little bit taken off of the check over at Legal Seafood.
Charles, thank you for spending this time with us.
And as we say in Hawaii, mahalo.
Okay, that's it for me, Charles Lockwoodera. If the creek don't rise, good Lord's willing, if nobody presses the little red button over the weekend, we'll do it all over again Monday morning. Hopefully you'll all have a great weekend at the beach right here on the Big Mattress on the Rocks.
Charles Lockwoodera will be celebrating his multimedia memoir, Days in the Light, this coming Wednesday night at the Paradise Rock Club on Comm Ave in Boston. This is 90.9 WBUR.
There goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. There goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say.